Welcome to Let's Run by Anusha and Friends. Here we're going to talk about anything and everything, and we're going to bring in our opinions, perspectives, and experiences. These are not meant to be 360-degree explainer articles. We hope you'll have a bit of a laugh and maybe a little bit of a think. As a heads up, we originally began recording and having scams and men as part of one episode, but we had such a good and long conversation, so we're just going to split the scams and men episode into two parts. So part one will be about scams, and the next part will be about men and much more. So stay tuned. Today, let's rant about scams and men. I'm joined by Janvi from the previous episode.
Hi everyone, I'm back again.
And Chinello, our new guest for today. Chinello, do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh man, what does introducing yourself mean?
Existential crisis, that's what it means.
Oh wow, I am living in London. That's an existential crisis.
It's a cost of living crisis, but it's also an existential crisis.
It is one, considering that I've lived in Nigeria most of my life. So getting used to the city.
So all good. Today, we're going to be talking about scams and men. And to kick off, Chinello, we previously discussed about Nigerian scams. Uh-oh. Can you tell us more about Nigerian scams?
I don't know if I'm doing justice to my Nigerian people. This was discussed in secret. And I feel like Nigerians will haunt me if I reveal too much. But scams in Nigeria, I mean, you call it scams, we call it survival. Men are under so much pressure in Nigeria to be breadwinners in a country that doesn't give them the space to grow and live out their ambitions. So they fall into this culture of affluence in the wrongest of ways. And you may then be victim either as a girlfriend or a scammy, if I could use that word.
A scammy. Invitees.
Yeah, the scammy. So they are the scammer and they are the scammy.
So have you ever been prey to one of these scams
or conducted one of these scams?
I wouldn't tell you. No. Promise you I'm scam-free. I have not fallen prey, but I have been around guys who do it. Because there's always this tag they go with. They're like, I'm into. Once a guy says I'm into rather than I am, so what do you do? I'm into programming.
Okay. If anyone says I'm into programming, they're a scammer.
I'm just saying that usually if I'm really suspicious of you and I ask what you do, and you can't really give me a clear-cut definition, which doesn't help me because I couldn't introduce myself in the beginning. So I'm not a scammer, but yeah, if you can't give me a clear-cut definition, I start suspecting you.
Fair enough. I think that based on what Chinelle was saying, even the amount of scams usually rise in times of economic insecurity and like cost of living. So in inflation, people have to resort to other means to make money, and that unfortunately involves preying on other people. But I think the Nigerian prince scam is probably the most famous scam in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't know. There's something they say in Nigeria, Nigerians are the curry last. We always, when we do it bad, we do it well.
Yeah, when we do it bad, we do it well.
Yeah, I mean, when Nigeria won the award for the best scammers, it was before everybody kind of started doing it, because a lot of people are scamming. It's not just a Nigerian thing. However, the thing that Nigerians were preying on that revealed people's sort of vanity is that we're preying on people's greed. So now when people, they prey on your fear, like, oh, you may have missed this payment. But before, Nigerians, they're preying on people's greed. And a lot of Westerners fell for that. They would call and say, oh, I'm a Nigerian prince. I have this amount of money. I would give you a good chunk if you can help me. You should have known it's a scam. A lot of Westerners fell for it. We in Nigeria, not so much. So I would say, well,
Yeah, be like, I think I'd know there was a prince in my country. Mm-hmm. And he was texting me. Mm-hmm. I think I'd know.
Yeah, a lot of it was greed. A lot of it was men posing as women, trying to get some married men. So a lot of it, we're preying on people's vanities and vices. So we may have just revealed and saved some.
So about scammers, I think that there's a lot of scam calls coming in from everywhere right now. And I don't think that... I really don't think that Nigerians are number one at scams. Sorry, Chinelo. I think it's just... I feel like we don't have enough data to make that decision.
I think that there are many scammers. I think Nigerians just score.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Successful scam.
Yeah, successful scam. I think that's why
that's
we're...
That's the number one.
There's, I mean, the it speaks for itself. So I don't believe I'm celebrating that this is what... I don't think my parents are...
You told us that Nigerians were the first to come up with these scams and they were also the best and the most successful.
Well...
You've got to celebrate
it's not
the values.
Much. It's
there's
not
like
much.
I'm sure there's plenty else.
Yeah, but, there is.
You know. So what are they called? The scammers.
The first name... back in the day, was Yahoo Boys. So like, oh, you're a Yahoo Boy. Because then Yahoo was popular. This was before Google became a thing. And they would go through Yahoo and send emails. But I just know that most times when a guy says, I'm into programming, I'm like, what does that mean? And he's not able to explain. I'm like, yeah, that's a scam.
C++?
C++.
HTML?
S-C-A-M++.
S-C-A-M++. There are a lot of scams happening in India as well to Indian citizens. And a lot of it involves targeting senior citizens. So you call and you say you're from the bank and someone has hacked your account and you need to recover it. And then there's a lot of like financial literacy scams going on. But like, I think it's amazing how creative people are. You know, I mean, ethics of it, but creativity, you gotta appreciate creativity, you know? And with the rise of AI, they're also creating scams because you can mimic someone's voice or video much easier, right? So my family and I had a conversation one day and we decided to create a safe word. So if you're actually in danger, if you need something, you say the safe word and it's not like an AI machine that's recorded and then redone it. But the problem was there was so much inconsistency in the conversation about safe words that I now think there are like four safe words in use because everyone proposed one safe word. So that conversation did not go very well. But if you're listening to this, you should probably create a safe word with your family or your friends so there's no deepfake of you being kidnapped and asking someone for money. Although like someone can do that much for deepfake. Kudos, man. Your talents could be utilized much better in a tech company. Maybe you should just join. Moving deeper into scams, I always think that there are different layers of ethics, okay? So there's the law, which sometimes, it corresponds with ethics quite a bit, but some laws are not ethical and some things that are ethical are not law, okay? But I feel like a lot of ethics is shaped by your experience. So the way mathematics is not subjective, 2 + 2 has to be 4, ethics, they change based on your perspective. So if you were, say, a pickpocket, you'd be like, oh, I'm an ethical pickpocket because I only rob rich people and they deserve it. So that's your justification. I believe like most people that commit crime, they don't actually think they're doing anything wrong. They think that the people deserve it or they say, I'm doing this for my family. And I can do anything for my family, so it's okay. And this is not just for, I would say, it's not limited to scams. It's limited to people who invest in fossil fuels. So it's very interesting. And this kind of ethics is what allowed racism in the UK in the 1970s and 1980s as well with the nationalistic party, because they would go and vandalize stores of like Asian immigrants, African immigrants, and they were like, oh, you're destroying our nation, so we're destroying the store. So when we perceive people doing things that we think are unethical, they usually don't perceive it that way. They have their own way of justifying it.
No, I completely agree. And I think that's a good way to look at it because it's all with every action, it's about who is benefiting and who's losing. If a guy comes into rob a store, the guy in front of the gun is losing, but his family at home who get the money and get benefits from that action. And to be honest, again, just to reiterate, that was a Nigerian problem. In fact, I was saying this recently with the way the country is in Nigeria, the the GDP is heavily supported by these scammers because they get a lot of this money and they take care of their families. So it's weird anyway.
It reminds me of the whole, stealing money from the rich, giving to the poor. It's very Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And it's about the perspective that you have of like, the rich probably don't feel the same way about, Robin Hood is great. I'm sure the royals were not very happy with him. But it's because we see it from the perspective of the common masses of who are struggling. And it just reminds me of when I was studying ethics in school. You've got different perspectives of how you can evaluate a situation. So there's utilitarianism, which is where you just look and you evaluate, overall, is there more benefit to more people or is there a lesson? It doesn't matter about the volume of the impact on one person. So it's like in, for example, the trolley problem. Do you kill one person who you know or do you kill four people? You pull the lever or you kill four people who you don't know or strangers. And it's the idea, in your utilitarianism, you just kill the one person that you loved, even though it impacted you more negatively, because objectively, four lives are saved versus one. And it's quite interesting, like, that's a very easy way to look at it quantifiably, but that doesn't mean you can make that choice so easily.
No, I completely agree, because I would say that at the highest scams, I feel like there's a level of money that you can make ethically, and beyond that, if you're making money, it may be legal, which is not ethical, but somewhere along the chain, someone's not being paid right, some part of the earth is getting destroyed, and someone screwed somewhere if you made an obscene amount of money. And that's why rich people not paying taxes is such a big thing. So if you don't pay your taxes, and in certain neighborhoods that need more help than the others, and they don't have schooling, so they don't have food, they don't have social housing, and then they have no choice but to do crime, then if you blame other people and you don't pay enough to contribute to society as much as you've taken, and the money that you've taken itself is built on such shaky ground, it's built on like wage workers on £2 a day in some other part of the world, then who is really doing the crime? Like in this society, aren't we all kind of criminals?
No, I like the way this conversation has sort of looped back to... It started off funny. But yes, I think where there's a high case of crime, there's a system problem. It's easy to blame those who are doing the crime, but then looking higher, you see that there's inequality, there's the service, there's usually corruption, and then things are not being shared. And people have to survive. And it becomes a survival of the fittest, and completely agree that it's a system thing, and when these things rise, it's about going to the system and saying, what's wrong and what can we do? Because like you said, somebody is taking more than they deserve.
It would just remind me again of the whole idea of trickle-down economics, right? You know, the people at the top, the big companies make their money, and then it's meant to trickle down. They spend more, they invest more, they hire more people. But that doesn't work because the people who make the money keep it for themselves. There's always an issue in the system.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we were growing up, there was something so appealing about being a criminal, you know? I mean, there's like, rob a bank seems so easy. Take a gun, go to the bank, get money out, they get insurance. There's no harm. But in reality, if you tried to do that, you'd be a psycho who ends up in jail. Best case.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that the realities of crime are far harsher than what is portrayed in something like The Godfather. In every alpha male movie you can see. I don't know.
I was thinking of Baby Driver.
Baby Driver. Yeah. So every alpha male movie that romanticizes crime, like, it doesn't work that way.
The heist movies.
Mm. The heist movies.
Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
I still enjoy them.
Glamorizing.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah. And this is another topic for another day, but I also think that they serve as adverts for guns as well. Mm. But let's not go there.
And the people at the top, like, they make all their money screwing so many other people in the value chain by not paying people right, and then they create foundations themselves. So you turn all your blood money white, but instead of paying someone fairly, you say, I'm giving back to a community, and it's a completely different power dynamic. Like, how does the equation work?
I think we just need to disrupt capitalism. I think it's a colonial construct that just doesn't work.
Mm.
Pre-colonialism, Nigeria didn't have this problem. We understood community, we understood shared resources, we were connected with nature, and we'd never force nature to give what it couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Colonialism came, external forces interrupted what we understood and destroyed the system. And now our education, our religion, and our politics are not ours. And you expect people to adapt to this new that isn't clearly working. And it's so funny now in the whole climate movement, we are going back to what indigenous communities used to revere.
Yeah.
So it's funny, I think it's coming out and saying we need to rethink capitalism because this culture of affluence just is the reason this unfairness is growing and this inequality thrives.
So am I right to tell you that, of course, the greatest scams are not Nigerian scams? Colonialist and capitalism scams. Are you ready to give the throne?
I'm happy to concede.
Nigerian scams away? Like capitalist scams?
I'm happy to concede if that's the winner because I really argue with that.
Thank you for joining us on our rant today. If you enjoy listening to this, or if you are someone that has been forced to listen to this because you know one of us, whoever's been speaking, then I please request, force, command, whatever, to please subscribe. So today's episode was hosted by me, Anusha, and joined by my great co-host, Janvi Ravish, and produced by Uda Vegela. This was a Wise Raccoon Studios production. I did not name this studio, just FYI. See you on the next episode. Bye-bye.